This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Show Me the Money Club. Myself and Sergio. How you doing today, Sergio?
Good. We're on our own today, buddy. Thank yes. God.
So if you haven't seen the Eddie Doyle one from last week, go back and check that out after this. But one of the nice things when it comes to this is we have a lot to kind of cover. A couple of things that we're going to talk about that just happened over this past week, like upfront earnings being brought to more cities, actually to most cities over the next several months. That announcement and a couple other announcements with like this Uber Pro program and stuff like that. We're going to be talking about that next week along with the earnings because the earnings just came out earlier. And then there's more on Thursday and Friday when it comes to the other companies. So we're going to kind of tackle that all next week when it comes to it, because they're all going to really tie together on the subject matter that we're going to be discussing. We talked about that earlier. So we got a lot of other things to talk about today. You know, we got a lawsuit that's hitting Uber, another one. We got, is this the worst earnings when it comes to the last 3 years? You know, Uber and Lyft being used heavily by doctors and hospitals, but yet drivers aren't equipped. A federal Prop 22 clone law, that's going to be interesting. And then, you know, some issues in Chicago that we want to kind of talk about when it comes to driver safety and, you know, some of the drivers out there protesting. So we got a pretty good show for you today. So first, before we get really into anything, we got to bring up our giveaway, which is in the middle of this. So this is the amazing portable car jump starter. We did a unboxing video on the channel already. It's a short. So if you want to go back and check that out after the show, check that out, because it's going to give you, you know, kind of a nice little breakdown. Not only is it a car jump starter, but you can use it to charge your phone. So if your phone dies or anything like that, it's portable. It's great. I like it. It's awesome. So the giveaway, we're having two winners for this contest, which is going to be awesome. So how you got to win? Last week, from July 25th at 4 a.m. Monday to August 1st, 4 a.m., when that whole week is, the person with the highest trip count for Uber, one winner. So whoever has the highest trip count, send your screenshots to Sergio. And also the second winner is going to be the person with the highest trip count for Lyft. So send those screenshots over again to Sergio for this past week. And we are going to make the announcement of the winner on next week's live stream, August 9th. So again, submit those screenshots for your week with the trip counts on there. Sergio@therideshareguide.com.
Wow, this thing looks like a cell phone with a couple of chargers. It looks pretty neat.
Oh, it's pretty big. It's portable. It's probably about like this big. I have one upstairs. I don't have it with me right now.
And it can jump a car battery? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like got a ridiculous amount of charge in it. So it'll jump the car battery and, you know, charge your phone. It's got like the USB-C. It's got USB. You know, USB-A. So it's got a couple of different ways so you could charge, which is really nice. It's a pretty good system. So
the red and black, those what do you call it, the connectors or whatever there, do they detach or is it just always?
It plugs into the unit itself. You get a little carrying case with it, and it gets, you know, plugs in. We got a link in the description below. So if anybody wants to check it out, you know, whether you want to purchase one for yourself, or, you know, if you had a really high giveaway or a really high Uber trip count or Lyft trip count, you know, submit your earnings. It's great to have, especially, you know, if you're in your car a lot, you don't know if your alternator can go or your battery's going to go. You turn your car off at a gas station or, you know, if you got to get out, walk around a little bit or something. So it's definitely something, one of those products that it's great to have on hand in the event you need it. Same thing, you know, if you being portable, you know, you can carry it with you or whatever.
You know, so, I have you know, I have this thought in my head that somebody calls an Uber and they ask for a jump.
You know, that happened one time to me, actually.
Did it?
I got a ride. They were so this is it's right near the mall. Like, the guy could have walked there to the gas station that was there. So he, but it wasn't a jump. It was actually for gas. Oh. And it's like you could literally walk there. And I mean, it was colder. It was in the winter.
That's crazy.
But it was just like that. And then I mean, so I shouldn't have said I had the same thing. It was actually for gas. But I did have a driver who was a rider in my car one time, and they were talking about how there was somebody who just needed a jump, and they're like, I don't have jumper cables. Like, yeah. They don't expect me to. I'm like, oh, well, you should. And then two, yeah, I understand if you don't want to jump. That's there's true a, statement there.
But. There's an idea for Uber for Go Get 2022. Add add AAA services to the app. Call an Uber for a jump in your car. There you go. Hey, yeah. Hey, Dara. See, I got an idea for you, Dara. add that to the platform or the super app. The super app. There you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We just want to thank Amazing for, you know, bringing that to being a giveaway. So thank you, Amazing, for the portable car jump start. Again, if you want to check it out, link's going to be in the description below. It is legitimately, though, pretty awesome. So
cool.
It's real nice to have. So definitely submit your trip earnings, your trip counts for that. And we will be announcing it next week.
No earnings, just a count, right?
Just a count. Yeah.
Just like, I don't have to do a spreadsheet for this one. I just kind of.
No. All you got to do is just, well, if you want to do the spreadsheet, just put in, you know, this screenshot submitted with the trip count.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Send your email. We have your email address when you email. Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Long day. Long couple of days, actually. All right. So where do you want to start?
Wherever you want. We're on our own, so we just go with our flow. Whatever you got, we'll talk about it.
Well, let's start with this lawsuit that's going on. 550 women are suing Uber for assault. So I know you know a little bit more about this. I read a couple of things on it. This is something that was brought forward a couple weeks ago, actually. So it's a couple weeks old. But yeah, it's interesting to see. It's mostly because of the safety report that came out, or at least it's kind of, I guess, in line with it. It might not be tied together at all, but, you know, the safety report from Uber just came out recently as well, too. So, yeah, 550 women are suing Uber for assault.
Yeah, there's more to come from what I hear, at least a few hundred more. So it's a class action. So, you know, I mean, Uber is no stranger to lawsuits, right? So God knows how many they have at every level, state, federal, whatever it is. But
international too.
International, every which way possible. So God knows what their legal bills are. That's one way not making money. I mean, just pay lawyers. we did the special on the safety report, right? Honestly, the numbers hadn't changed that much. I mean, from 2017-18 to 2019 to 2020, where 2020 was basically a dead year for rideshare, numbers stayed exactly the same, you know? So me, it's like...
It's percentage rates. Yeah, it's very similar, similar. So
all the safety tools introduced in the app for the passengers and the driver, like follow my ride, you know, the 911 button, all that stuff, it seems like it is what it is, because the ride counts are basically, you know, they also have grown, by the way. So we have to give, you know, that a little bit of an attention. There were more trips in 2019, 2020 than 2017, 2018, but not huge numbers. So, you know, look, one assault is bad enough, 550 women suing. And, you know, I'm surprised that, you know, being a major lawsuit, this did not get too much play in the media. You know how the media embellishes all these bad news things, right? This was like a little snippet and it came and went. Either Uber PR departments did an amazing job pushing it under the rug, or I don't know. I thought this would have gotten more play. But
I think maybe it's just because it's the initial aspect. It's not, you know, hit court. a court system yet, or, you know, I don't think it's going to go into arbitration.
Well, Uber is going to do what they do with every lawsuit. They'll drag it out, and then they'll settle for some massive settlement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I hear at least a couple to 300 more women are about to come forward and be added to the list. So the longer the list goes, or the higher the numbers of women coming forward. Mm-hmm. And this is not only women, by the way, right? I mean, there's some men in there probably too. And we also have to think, you know, drivers are also getting sexually assaulted. This is just for passengers.
Is it just passengers?
So there may be another one coming from female drivers or even male drivers, as we did with the special, right? Mm-hmm. The male sexual assaults went up to 19% from 7% from the previous safety report.
You mean as victims?
Yeah, as victims. So I'm sure that number is going to be as big, if not bigger, than this number. So on the driver's side, I mean. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure they'll drag it out and settle it at some point in a couple of years or whatever it's going to be. But ultimately, safety on both ends is a big, big, big concern. And we're going to touch upon that subject going forward on this episode. You know, what can Uber do? Because they are not in the car. These things are so fluid. They're happening at a pace that even law enforcement can't catch up, right? If something is happening, you push the button on your Uber app, call 911. Like we talked with Eddie Doyle, you know, that lady pushed a button on 911. They didn't find her dead body for 3 hours later in Pittsburgh, right? Yep. So to me, it's like, on the Lyft platform, you have the ADP button, right, which is a major national security company. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you can do other than we talked with Eddie like last week. You're on your own, man. You got to watch out for yourself. If shit's going sideways, you got to pull over, grab your keys, grab your phone in a lighted place and get the heck out of Dodge and then let the chips fall where they may. You know, the passenger can complain and say, hey, guys, this and that. But deactivation versus life, tough choice. I take life any day over deactivation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you right there. I mean, like, the biggest thing is they could put all these tools in place when it comes to if something's happening. Yeah. But the time that it takes for something to happen when you press the button for other people to come, it's a lifetime essentially there. And you can only do so much when it comes to these companies, when it, like, something actually happening at the moment. You can do things for the onboarding process. You can make it easier for people to have identification just on hand. So then, like, if there's a ride that's going on, they know who's in the car. And they can let law enforcement know. The other thing is working with law enforcement. They have the dashboard for law enforcement, but law enforcement has no idea about it for the most part. Unless they've had issues with Uber or Lyft before. That's one thing too. Like, the communication between the companies and law enforcement is horrendously bad, even though they have the tools available. But still, you know, if all the information is not being collected from a passenger, or a passenger's, you know, friend who gets in the car or whatever. Yeah. Well, something like that, then, you really got to pay attention to. And when it comes to both drivers and riders, because, again, it's about 50% of the time something's happening, whether, you know, it's driver on passenger or passenger on driver. It's 50% of the time. So we got to focus on both. You know, the biggest thing is if you're a passenger and you don't feel comfortable, you know, there's plenty of tools that you can do. Or things that you can do. Same thing as drivers. There's plenty of things that you can do, whether you have stuff on hand that maybe the companies don't want you to have, but for you, for your protection, for your safety, that's kind of your call.
I use the, if I don't, you know, I get a sketchy passenger in the car, and you know, you can read the room after doing it for 5-6 years, you know, what kind of trip that's going to be when the passenger walks in. I automatically turn on my follow my ride. You know, it goes to my family, right? So they know for that ride at least what's happening. And it also goes to law enforcement. So to me, it's like the tool is decent, but I think the driver is at a little bit more of a disadvantage when it comes to those using those tools, because number one, you're freaking driving. You don't want to go hit something while you're panicking and looking for a button or this and that. I feel like the passenger has more of an advantage if they're under assault, or, you know, because
they're behind you, you're facing forward, or even if they're next to you, you're still facing forward. So drivers are definitely more vulnerable.
I mean, that's another gripe, by the way, Chris, that's another gripe I have with a lot of passengers. You know, when you pull up sometimes and your pickup point is on the left, but then you pull up on the right because the app didn't give you the exact pin location, right? So you have this passenger walk across the street, there's, you know, on a residential area, and open your door, the passenger door behind you, and they sit right behind you. I hate that. If female, not to a point, because I think actually that's a good point for female passengers. Sit behind the driver, passenger side, as opposed to the other side. So maybe, you know, if the driver is a bad apple and is going to do something, he cannot reach easily, you know, go behind the head. But I have sometimes these big guys sit right behind me, and I'm like, bro, no.
Yeah.
Can you? I always tell them.
Can you move up a little bit? No.
I always tell them, you know, they're
right there. You got so much more room. Go there.
Yeah, go there. Go to the right side, buddy, because you have so much more leg room there. So I'm like, to me, it's like, you know, females. I mean, I think this lawsuit, when the driver assaults are going to get filed as a class action, I don't know. But I'm sure it's coming. I mean, because we hear about this every single day now. It's tragic, but it's like, none of it should happen. How it's preventable,
we'll talk about what's going on in Chicago next. But when it comes to these safety issues, the biggest thing besides, you know, some sort of onboarding process, when people are in your car, whether you're a driver or a rider, you just need to, you know, have basic, you know, know-how or whatever it might be, whether that's, you know, the muscle memory of, you know, unbuckling your seatbelt, grabbing your keys, your phone, whatever it might be, dash camera, and getting right out of the car or something at either a stop, in a gas station, whatever it might be, just get away from that particular situation. You know, that's going to help, you know, some sort of, I think, a good thing would be like some sort of, you know, in-car defense. So some of these self-defense classes, not the crappy ones that don't teach you anything, but stuff that actually really is helpful. I think there could probably have something that, some sort of course or class or something that can be, you know, given to drivers, given to passengers in the event something happens. And then, you know, stuff like dash cameras that are uploading to the cloud, should be
big help. Yep. Everybody should get one of those, honestly, because the other thing is, you know, all of these assaults, I'm sure in these 500 women case, happened when they were totally drunk or inebriated or out of, you know, I mean, out of control, right? Mm-hmm. Because women, you know, obviously can defend themselves, you know, in the case of assault, to a point, unless they're so drunk that they pass out. And, you know, a lot of these things happen, you know, you rarely hear something like this happen at, you know, morning rush hour. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Probably 90% of these cases are at night, number one. And number two, you know, when they're drunk. I mean, that's why they're using Uber, not to get, you know, DUIs and things like that. So, you know, if there's bad apples, which I know, I'm sure there is in the driver community, you know, they're going to take advantage of the situation, right? And the last thing that I would say for this is that, honestly, a lot of women, you know, there's a viral thing going on YouTube. I saw, you know, Say My Name movement, you know what I mean, on Lyft and things like that. I go, listen, you know, if I'm in front of your house waiting for you to come out, and you come out and act like a jerk and say my name, I'm like, no, I'm not going to say your name, number one. Look at my license plate. I've been waiting in front of your house for 3 minutes already for you to come out. Do you think I really am here to rape you? Seriously? Right? Because to me, it's like, but the best thing that I have for passengers an advice would be literally anything can be faked. The car, the guy can say, the driver can say, oh, I just uploaded it. Uber hasn't updated it yet. My picture was just uploaded. Uber hasn't. I mean, it can come up with all kinds of bullshit excuses, right? But one thing you cannot fake, honestly, unless you're going to go into those lengths, is put the license plate number in the app that all the passenger has to do is match those two. Once you do that, you know you're in the right car. You're not, I mean, come on, right?
The other thing too is mandatory PINs. I don't know why they haven't done that in the US, but mandatory PINs would solve all of that.
Yeah.
So if you put in the wrong PIN, then it's done. The other thing that would be great about mandatory PINs is if you wanted to take, you know, a flagged ride, you could, because all they have to do is give you a PIN. You put that PIN in, it connects you, and then it'll say, okay, where are they going? You could do it in app, and everything's done through the app. So you get the insurances through the app, you get the all of that. So the PIN could even solve something like that, where you could essentially do hailing on that side, if so choose. I mean, something like that would probably take a little bit more, but I mean, when it comes to safety, there's a little bit that there's more that they can do, definitely, but there's little that they can do in the event something is actually unfolding at the moment.
Yeah, it's very difficult. But, you know, good luck to these women. I'm sure they have a solid case and more to be joining the class action. And, you know, when one of these things start, it's like a inferno. It just keeps getting larger and larger and larger, because the definition of assault, you know, gets extended, and I'm like, I mean, it's going to be a big one. You know, it's not going to be a small settlement. So,
It'll be really interesting over the next few years. It's going to take a few years. Absolutely. Especially when it comes to class action, because then they'll open it up to other people. That you got to fill out the information. They'll have to follow up with those people. It's going to be a lot.
There. Well, I mean, it could be massive just for the fact that the definition of the lawsuit, right? If in the definition is like, I could even say, if you rode in an Uber as a female from 2019 to 2021, there'd be millions of people that way. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know what the judge is going to rule, obviously. You know what the parameters of the class action is going to be. You know, how they're going to define, you know, in our culture now, you have to define things, you know, like how they're going to define sexual assault. Could it be a touch, or could it be anything, right? But then, I mean, it's a free for all, right? So people will come forward. We'll see. It's an interesting situation. So,
All right. So speaking of safety in that, let's move to our next topic, talking about Chicago. With some of the safety going on there.
And, I mean, I don't know what to say. This is, you know, this is just too much. I mean, we had, honestly, you know, we did those two town halls, right? What was the consensus of all drivers, small city, big city, pro Uber, anti Uber, whatever they were, right? What was the consensus that we came up with? That more has to be done. That was pretty, you know, we couldn't agree on IC status. We couldn't agree on certain things. But if there was one consensus that came out of every driver's mouth, is that Uber can do more about driver safety, period, right? And to me, every single day now, you know, like the one on the left here, one of them put a gun against my head. Uber driver recounts terrifying carjacking. There was a Uber Eats driver got killed in Portland during a carjacking attempt. Luckily, there is video of it, and these two idiots are going to jail for a long time. There was another shootout. I don't know what city it was in, but this time the shootout was between the passengers and another car. It looks like a drive-by, and poor Uber driver got shot multiple times. Hopefully, you know, luckily he didn't get killed. The passenger did, though, and he was like, he ended up crashing his car into some tree or whatever, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? I mean, is it like that the economy, you know, is so bad? Or I feel like this types of news is out there more often than I can ever remember. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, right? What I mean, this is getting out of control. I mean, why, you know, I understand carjackings always happened, but now it seems like it's happening more with Uber and Lyft drivers or gig economy workers than anything else. Mm-hmm. And of course, well,
comes down to a couple of things here. First, desperation creates stupidity, and right. people are going to do stupid things. So, you know, during the pandemic, one of the things is during the pandemic, you know, you get people who are desperate. You don't know what's going on. People are locked down, blah, 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 all this. We already know. And people are, you know, they're getting antsy. They're getting stirred. They're not sure what's going on. So it's going to create, you know, a lot of issues. It's going to help trigger mental illness. It's going to do a lot of things there when it comes to it. So, you know, you have stuff like that. Now you have inflation. You know, things yep. are double what they were. Gas is insane. You know, food costs are insane. Everything is just up. So, you know, the biggest problem there is you have, again, now financial troubles, which, you know, can an economic condition can drastically alter a person's well-being financially and, you know, mentally again, you know, it's coming to that trigger. So you're coupling these two massive events that are happening back to back with each other. Yeah. And yeah, you're going to get people who are desperate doing stupid things, trying to do stupid stuff. You're getting, you know, the other thing is opportunity. So you see, oh, somebody here got a carjacking, you know, again, that stupid mindset says, oh, I can do the same exact thing, or, you know, it could be the same group of people or whatever it might be. So there's a lot of things there. And then you're getting all of the people that are, you know, reporting on it too. You're getting massive amounts of reporting. Plus, we're also in it. You know, we're in the rideshare arena. We know what's going on. We pay attention to news and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're going to see stuff probably more so than other drivers may, especially if they're not on YouTube, if they're not on Reddit or Facebook or anything. So they might only see their local area or, you know, nearby if it makes some big news. So, yeah, I think you're just having a massive issue, an influx of, you know, the craziness of what's going on in the world, coupling that with, you know, mental illness issues, stupid people doing stupid things that should never be doing that in the first place. And then also opportunity. You put that all together, and I think that's part of the reason why it's getting more and more and more.
I mean,
you know, every day you hear something.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You know, there's copycatting issues where people go, oh, yeah, look at the easy target. Most of the time, Uber drivers are an easier target. I mean, because guess what? You can call them to yourself. If you think about it, right? You can order a ride and call your carjacking victim to you. I mean, that's messed up, bro.
And that was the point that I made in oh God, I think it was at the end of 2020 when everything was starting to really pick up and vamp up in Chicago. They were saying the exact same thing. So
easy.
It's no joke. And then, you know, you see that second screenshot on the right there, and they're saying police are making arrests after rideshare drivers block the avenue, North Avenue, in protest for better living wage and better safety protection. So it's all tying together. But yeah, when it comes down to it, it's like, what are they going to do?
You know, you and I, we've been with RSG for a long time, right? So seriously, I mean, what has been the number one and number two complaint of drivers going back 4, 5, 6 years? Always been those two: living wage, better safety. And nothing has changed. And we're at 2022, almost finishing middle of 2022. It's still the same complaint. So either drivers are delusional, which I don't believe at all that they are. They're saying the same thing they were saying in 2017, 2018, still, and nothing is being done. So safety, I think is easier to fix than
living earnings. That's going in more markets.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I want to save all my bullets for that for a whole show.
That'll be next. We're going to kind of talk about that all next week. But
I don't want to shoot any bullets yet.
Being in my market, we don't have upfront earnings yet. It'll likely come, as they're saying, most cities. So it'll likely come. I know you've had it, but it's, you know, under Prop 22, it's a little bit different than The other markets have. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that ends up playing out.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I'd be very interested when this upfront thing comes around for pretty much nationwide. Well, you know what? No, let's talk about that when it comes.
Yeah,
let's keep it because you know what? I don't know. I'm certain. I have really interesting thoughts about it, and I don't want to, you know, like rush it, and I want to like put a good case forward, which I try to do. When it comes to upfront earnings for drivers, upfront earnings for passengers has been around for, I don't know, 3 years now, 4 years, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's been 2017 or 2018.
Yeah. So that's nothing new to them, but very new to the drivers. And we'll talk about that. But safety, I mean, again, both town halls, every single driver, we had some pro-Uber guys, we had some anti-Uber people. You know, I call it the way I see it, safety has become more of an issue than almost the earnings now, honestly, because you know, who cares about earnings if you're dead? You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. or assaulted or stabbed or some ridiculous thing. That's a life-changing event. I mean, these are life-changing events, not just for the driver, but for their immediate families and, you know, friends. And I'm like, what, we got to do something about this, right? I'm not telling everybody to pack, you know, you're not going to go pack. Not everybody is good with a gun or whatever. But the fact that you're not allowed to protect yourself with some equipment.
But look at this this guy right here in that first screenshot where he's saying he put the gun against the head. Do you think that driver will ever drive again?
I mean, if he's desperate, he may, but enough for a while.
He's desperate, but he's going to have to take time off. He's going to have to do, you know, he's going to have to really like come to grips with everything.
Absolutely. PTSD, so, right? I mean, you know, exactly. That's the thing. You know, we were talking on the previous segment about lawsuits. There is going to be some massive lawsuit when it comes to this stuff now, right? Because that's an assault. That's an assault. Mm-hmm. And you know, how many drivers keep it quiet because they don't want to get deactivated? They're afraid, right? They don't come forward. You know, but now I think it's out of control. I mean, we need to, you know, honestly, we talked about this on the both town halls. People ordering rides for other people, you know, people uploading their, you know, passenger IDs, a must. I mean, I don't care because in the time you can put like your fake screen name on, killer or whatever I talk about all the time, you can just literally, I mean, we have AI today. Every phone has a camera. Take a freaking picture of your ID, bro. It's easier actually than typing your name and last name, your address. The whole information is there, right? So as a driver, when we're uploading documents, we don't print anything, right? If they want registration, we just take a picture of the registration. It goes to an AI software, and it reads it and says you're approved. If you're putting up your insurance card, same thing. You just take a picture, right? Or if you're verifying, right, as a driver, because now my verifications have gone up, you know, the picture verification, like after a ride, I turn my app off. Next time I'm turning my app on, it goes, verify yourself. Mm-hmm. So all these things they do for the driver, right? Do it for the passenger. How difficult is it?
Exactly.
You know, people take selfies more than anything in the world, right? I mean, for shit's sake, they take selfies with everything.
My problem.
No, but I mean, you take a selfie as a passenger. Verify that you are the passenger. How about that? That's easy, right? To me, it's like...
Oh, it's just doing those things alone. And then, you know, I cutting down on these guest passengers, unless they have an approved account and they're, you know, they have a PIN code or something that's sent to their phone via the app or whatever it might be, or even like a dual PIN code where, you know, they got to give you one, you give them one, they have to put it in the app or something to make sure that like that guest is actually able to be...
You know what I've been seeing? I saw this on guest rides last like few months, maybe a couple, 3 months. What it does is that it says this is a guest ride, guest trip. And then underneath it, it puts who ordered the trip, right? The name of the person. This is no joke. It's in the app. I have a screenshot of
it. I know. I've seen it before.
And the person, the rating of the person who ordered the trip for the guest. So there is a little bit more information, but it's in the second page. You have to click on the, you know, the three yep. dots on the right. There's some work involved. I think this is so easy. People, look, Uber, people take selfies, honestly, like 50 times a day for stupid things with their food, with their friends. Bro, verify yourself as a passenger. How yep. difficult is that? I verify myself as a driver all the time. I uploaded my driver's license. It's a picture. Click, you upload your information. Hey, like Eddie said, if your government given name is killer, all power to you. But at least I know it's not fake, right? Mm-hmm. Because to me, it's like when we're picking up as drivers, what do we know? Rating of the passenger, where to pick up the passenger, and the screen name of the passenger. That's all we know. We don't know yep. male, female, nothing. Obviously, if it's their name, they uploaded it correctly. We know male, female, we can guess. But mm-hmm. to me, what's the big deal? Why? I mean, I don't think the riders are going to get pissed off if you ask them to upload an ID. If they want to use
the ones that are probably the ones that shouldn't be using the services anyway.
There you go, 100%.
Right? Oh, you know, you're pre-weeding all those people out who are yeah. complaining. And then if you have a legitimate concern, what other things have you signed up for? For Netflix, you need to sign up using your information. For other services and things, you need to sign up using your information. You give all of your information to Facebook and all these other platforms, yep. the social media platforms, to all these stores that you get the little cards or gift card, whatever the hell they're called. So why can't you give the information to that? Because you say it's going to be discriminatory. If you have a problem doing that, then you probably shouldn't be on the platform.
Probably not. And Uber knows those numbers, and Lyft knows those numbers. Not mm-hmm. as much on the food delivery side, but on the ride share side, they know, bro. They know everything. They know all the numbers. They yeah. know who should not be on the platform. They all know that. They don't do much about it because it's money. Money coming in, revenue coming mm-hmm. in.
Yeah, even that's why there is some national law that yeah. forced their hand to have yeah. to do these types of things.
I mean, think about it.
You're also going to protect, you know, the passengers too that way. Just
100%. 100%. So,
100%. It only makes sense to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Let's move on. We're going to just re-announce the giveaway when it comes to it. And we'll also announce it at the end because there's probably people who are on and have left between. So we do have a giveaway that we're doing for two winners with the amazing portable car jump starter. For how to win, the person with the highest trip count for Uber and the person for the highest trip count for Lyft. From the week of July 25th to August 1st, so this past week, you will win. So make sure you send your screenshots of Uber and Lyft with your trip counts to Sergio by August 9th. Well, let's make it August 8th because we're going to do the announcement on August 9th during our live stream. So you got plenty of days. The easiest thing to do, snap your screenshot right now and send it to Sergio. It's Sergio at therideshareguy.com. And like I said, the person who has the highest ride count, trip count for Uber and for Lyft is going to win. Not together, but one winner each. So congratulations to our upcoming winners. Good luck. And thank you, iMazing, for this awesome giveaway. Appreciate that. And also for more information on this particular car jump starter, we'll have a link in the description below. So if you want to check that out, then you can.
Yep.
All right. So let's move on to another topic, but it's still going to be somewhat similar. And we talked about earnings with, Chicago. Yeah. The drivers were arrested for trying to protest when it came to blocking some traffic. I get it. Yep. You don't want to block traffic, but you still want to get your voices heard. They did. They got a news article written. So let's go to the news article that you wrote when it came to driver earnings. Yeah. Are these the worst earnings in the last 3 years?
Yeah, they are. So I've been writing for RSG for like 4.5 years, right? And then I put all my screenshots in there. I call it the way I see it. I analyze my numbers. I look at my utilization rate. I look at four matrix that I've written a million times about, my earnings, online hours, active hours, dollars per mile, you know, door-to-door hours, any freaking which way you can look at earnings, I look at it because I want to be profitable. I don't want to just willy-nilly drive. So a couple of weeks ago, I did like 30 chips. You know, people say always say, oh, it's not a big data sample size, this and that. I go, yeah, when I do a big data sample size, like Uber's take with 800 rides, they go, oh, that's too much. I'm like, I can't win, but I don't care. I don't care.
People want to complain about anything.
Yeah, I don't care. At this point, I'm like covered in Teflon. I'm like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I did this article. I'm shocked. I mean, my numbers are trash. 3-4 months ago, especially last year, from what they were to what they are today, it's half. Literally half. So last September, October, November, $55-$60 an hour online time, $2.50 per mile minimum, easy money, right? Why? Because Uber was showing me the money. Lyft was showing me the money even. You know, now, Surge was plenty, 20 hours a day. Now Surge is maybe a couple hours a day. That means that's two weird things. We did that oversaturation video. That was like stupid views, right? There are too many drivers out there, way too many drivers out there. So I'm splitting the pie with same pie. The pie hasn't grown. The demand is still the same. But now I'm splitting it with another 50 people around me as opposed to five. Hmm. So what happens to my utilization factor? Utilization factor, by the way, is people, your online hours, and you take your active hours. Basically, active hours means you got a request, you're on your way to pick up and finishing the ride. So that's your active hours. Online hours is you click on the app, you're sitting on your butt. That's your online hours. So if you take the active hours divided by your online hours, you're going to get a percentage. So September, October, November, as everybody knows, with a passenger in the car, wheels turning is when you're making money. You're not making money on the way to pick up the passenger. In some places, they're paying you for a long pickup and this and that. But California, LA is not one of those places. My utilization factor from being 98% is down to 60, 62%. Now, what does that mean? That means about 36 minutes of the time of the hour, I have a passenger in the car or I'm on my way to a passenger versus 98% of the time. So boom, automatic decline in earnings. Yep. That's simple right there. Another reason, bonuses are history. Quests are being cut like nobody's business. This week, I've had the worst quests that I've seen. I always do the minimum. It's 30 trips for $40. Not a freaking chance I'm doing 30 trips for a buck extra. Bro, what's a buck? Buck is like, it's not even worth anything these days with inflation. So yeah, I had my worst earnings. And then to be honest with you, when I write some semi-controversial articles, unlike the take rate, I think that got more comments than ever. Because for some reason, by the way, you know, the blog is kind of taking a stepchild kind of a thing to the YouTube channel. On the blog, you used to get so many more comments. A lot more people used to read the thing, right? Now, I guess people are too tired. They don't like reading anymore. They just like watching things, right? So to me, you know, getting 19, 20 comments on an article now is like huge versus, because if you look at all the articles on our blog, which I think is fantastic, people go read these things, you'll learn stuff. Like zero comments on 99% of them. I'm like, what is this? Nobody's reading these things? And I don't know. But this one, worst earnings since 2019, because three things are exactly the same as they were in 2019. Oversaturation. Yeah, people go, why is there oversaturation? Is it the economy? Is it desperate people trying to put food on the table? I don't blame them. They got to do what they got to do. I can't get away from them, though. That's the goddamn problem. I can't get away from them. Because every time I reposition myself, there is another 10 drivers in that corner. I'm like, I'm not going to dead mile miles and miles to just find myself a spot with Surge, possibly, never chased the surge anyway. So oversaturation, lower incentives. As we know, certain weeks, incentives are 30 up to 40% of a driver's earnings. What? And that's the variability of this issue. It's not up to your control, people. It's an algorithm that decides, okay, Sergio gets 20 trips for 80 trips for $100 this week. Oh, next week, we'll give him 80 trips for $300. I'm like, what changed? You like me more? Why do you like me more this week? Mm-hmm. So all quests throughout the country, I'm in touch with a lot of drivers around the country. They're all complaining about the same thing.
Yep.
The quests incentives are gone. And the base rates are the base rates. The base rates have not changed. We did a video about that too. The IRS deduction is higher than a lot of cities' base rates these days. So if you're going to drive on base rates of 60 cents, 58 cents, 62 cents a mile with no surge, no incentives, what do you expect? Your earnings are going to go down, just like mine did. So I'm like, I hope it changes, but I doubt it because
these. And, you know, same here. Like, I'll send you the screenshots when you know how you get the text message and it tells you, like, oh, you could, if you sign on during this time. So mine goes, it starts at 28 an hour. Oh, and remember, this is 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. time. Yeah, so beyond that, who knows how low it would have been
12.
when they're talking about it or how they're figuring it comparatively to all drivers in the market. Yeah. Then the following text, it says 26. It's not 39 an hour for 20 hours or more. I don't know. The following text that I get doesn't even have a number in there. It just says Saturday through Sunday is expected to be busy between 12 and 3. They don't even give you. And then the next one is 23 an hour. So like those, it just shows you, it goes like even $5 an hour is a massive decline.
That's 20%.
That's huge right there.
What are you talking about?
So you're seeing that, you just see it drop over and over. And again, it's the saturation. Now, when it came to the quests, so mine that I have right here, this is the next quest that's coming up. So mine goes 60 trips for $100. And then if you give 10 more, it's an extra $5. So there's that 50 cents again that we had talked about, you know, in another previous promo. And then there's three quests on this one. Quest two is 50 trips for $95 with 20 trips at $10. So again, you're getting 70 trips for $105. And then quest three is 40 trips for $90 and add 10 trips for $5. So you can make $95, but the craziest thing is 20 less trips, 10 less dollars. Why wouldn't you
take
do that one?
I take
that's
the one.
That's a smart one to take. Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense, but it's easier to get because you're only doing 40 rides versus 60 rides, especially with the amount. And the same thing, like I haven't seen a street bonus in a couple of months. And then surge is only at certain times. And, you know, normally you'd get Buffalo would be lit up pretty well, you know, on the weekend. Most of the time, that's when I go out. Sometimes there's other nights, like Monday night, I'll go out because the airport, you know, everybody's coming in at that time. Nobody's driving. So you're getting surge on top of that. And you're not waiting at the airport. They're grabbing drivers like 10 miles away. So that's what's going on. You're getting a lot more people again in Buffalo. Teachers are out. School is out. You know, so in our case, not in yours, you know, a portion or a percentage of the schools that are in our area do take rides. So, you know, take that out, that could be 10, 15% of rides. Couple that with teachers that aren't teaching and looking for something to do. So
college kids, right? They all are driving, making a few hundred bucks in summer, whatever. So to me, it's like those three factors: oversaturation, lack of incentives, like Chris mentioned, quests, and see it. I haven't seen a boost or a consecutive ride bonus since like November.
It's been a while.
So incentives are cut, which sometimes could be 30-40% of your earnings for a week. Tips are lower, I'm noticing. I don't know, it may be because, you know, Uber's jacking the rates on the passengers. They go like, man, this ride cost me 25 last week, this week is 30. I would have tipped my driver $5, but I'm paying 30. I have no room for a tip. I'm like, god damn. And breaking news, by the way, I started doing some deliveries first time. I was going to do an article about that. True comparison between deliveries for myself, deliveries and rideshare driving. Very interesting. And guess who, by the way?
You know what? I think we'll have to bring Pedro back on. And your delivery.
Absolutely.
The article that's coming out. I think we'll have to have Pedro back on.
I may be a full-time delivery driver. That's a hint for you. And guess who Uber showed them money again? The wife. Yeah, nice. And then she took it. And this time she did deliveries too.
Well, honestly, the same thing happened to me. Like, I had to take off the last couple of weeks because I was I had COVID. So I wasn't driving or anything. Yeah, yeah. You know, I wasn't going out. I was pretty much staying home. One, just didn't feel like it, and two, I don't want to infect other people. But with that being said, now they do have a $80 for 10 rides when it comes to it. So that's not too bad. That's $8 a ride extra if you could do the 10 rides. And that's on top of the quest that's going on now.
Hers was 10 for 120.
Oh, nice. Even better.
Oh,
so
she did 10 deliveries. She did deliveries and she loved it. I go like, why do I have to drive people around? But there is a big, big caveat in deliveries.
All right.
We're gonna hold that to the later, after the article.
All right. Well, I'll give you my real quick before we get we'll change topics. But I did delivery at a pizzeria for 8 years. I loved it. I thought it was great, but it wasn't the same thing as these apps in any way. When Uber Eats came into my market, I tried it because they kept giving all these bonuses. So like everyone you'd take, it would be like $2, $3, $4, depending on the time. Extra on top of whatever the fare would have been for that delivery. So I'm like, yeah, why not? I'll try it. Every single one was to freaking McDonald's. And I'm like, I'm not sitting 25, 30 minutes in line waiting for the food to come. Like, because I do mostly at night. So you had to go in the drive-thru because they closed down.
Yeah, you're not going to take those.
You're sitting in that freaking line for 25, 30 minutes because everybody else wants their food too. And it's like, oh. So I haven't done it.
But in my area, I'm a quick study. I'm figuring out what restaurants to accept it from, what are shit restaurants that make you wait. Definitely no fast food for me because I wasn't doing that half hour work for $4. So to me, it's like I'm learning pretty fast. And you know what? I'm liking it, although I will stick to my original of rideshare any day when it comes to earnings over delivery. But that's for later. There you go.
Well, the big thing is, you know, one of the things that we preach here, though, is, you know, multi-app.
So yes.
It's not just Uber and Lyft. It's Uber, Uber Eats,
everything.
DoorDash, Lyft.
Everything.
You know, GoPuff, if you haven't, if you can.
Hey, I signed up to Spark. Whatever. I signed up to Spark. I haven't heard from them. I have two Walmarts within 3 miles of me. No, they didn't even say anything. You know, they go, you have to go through DDI, whatever the heck that company is.
Oh, DDI. Yeah. It took a little bit of time for me to sign up. And then, it took a little bit of time for the whole sign up process. And then I forget what it is because it's a few months ago at this point. And then I was on the wait list for about 2 weeks. After that, though, I like Spark, honestly. I like the pickups. And then, you drive, you can pick up multiple orders and you can go. So it's almost like an Amazon Flex kind of thing.
I have that too.
The pay's been pretty well. I get a lot of bonuses and stuff too. So, it's pretty good. We're going to probably do a couple of videos on Spark soon. Yeah. So if you're interested in that, make sure you're definitely subscribed if you're not already.
Yeah, I'm signed up to that. I'm also on Amazon Flex, but I don't want to do actual package delivery because I hear that's like a grind. But there is, you know how Amazon bought Whole Foods, right? So there is a Whole Foods, and then they converted two Whole Foods that are near me to Amazon Fresh. And I see guys flying out of there with packages for food delivery, and they're saying the tips are pretty good too. So I signed up to that as well. I think I have like 8 apps on my phone now. So I'm going to do food delivery for Amazon Fresh, Spark, whenever they let me on. I signed up to Grubhub because I think with the Amazon, free deliveries for Prime members for Grubhub, right? That deal that they signed, Grubhub is going to probably do a little bit better.
Just, just know Grubhub might take a long time for a wait list because Elijah and Tyler, I don't know if Tyler was approved yet or not. I know they were on the wait list for a really long time. And even Elijah is still on the wait list for Grubhub. Last time I talked to him. And they're contributors on
yeah, but in my area, though, in my area, I'm sure there is a lot more Amazon Prime members than their area, maybe. I don't know. So service may get used a lot more.
True.
But I'm signing up anyway. I'm just multi-apping is the way to go, people.
Oh, absolutely.
Sign up to all of these things. You get on, you don't get on. Hey, man, you have a choice, you know?
But even whoever like shows you the money. Thumbtack and all that.
I'm not going to do that one. No. I don't even know what to do.
Well, there's a lot of different stuff that you can look at. So it's just going to depend on, you know, kind of the interest that you have like that. If you want to talk about like more independent contractor, that would be more like it.
More, yeah. You can name your price and things like that. Yeah.
Yep. A lot of things like that. So right. it's definitely great, especially during these slow times. So, you know, if you're doing ride share primarily and maybe a little bit of food delivery here, you know, it's sign up for whatever is available in your area. Try all the different ones, even, you know, try Amazon Flex. One of the great things about a lot of Flex drivers that they say, yes, it's a grind, but it's also a great way to lose some weight because you're constantly 100%. Moving.
Bro, so I did food delivery.
You're sitting there, you're gaining weight.
I 100% agree. I couldn't agree with you more. I did the delivery, food deliveries. 90% plus are leave at the door, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to get out of my ass, get off my car. First of all, I have to walk to the restaurant, right, to get back in. Yep. Then go. I loved it, honestly. I loved it, but there's a lot of
issues. Yeah, we'll talk about, we'll reach out to Pedro, see if we can do a food delivery wars or something again and talk about that. And then he can put his insights on as well. So that would be interesting.
Yep,
that all right, so let's move on. You know, talking about earnings. So we got a...
Hey, I earned more than the 22. Minimum. Come on.
Well, we got a Prop 22 bill that is going to be looked at as a national thing. So this is kind of like the intro because, you know, outside of California, a lot of people might not know what Prop 22 entails. A lot of people probably didn't look up all of the information within the law itself. I did. I know a lot of the you know, shadiness of it. And it's definitely a very shady bill at that. So one of the things that you have is that earnings guarantee minimum or floor earnings.
Guess how many times I've gotten an adjustment for that minimum.
I'm going to say zero.
Yeah, you're absolutely 100% correct. Because if I'm worth my drive, bro, if I'm going to work for their minimum, which is pathetic at 120% of minimum wage and 30 cents a mile, I'm doing something very wrong. Right. I mean, shits and giggles this past week, you know. 100%.
Like, but here's the thing, though.
But you're it's a good thing to have.
Top earner in the LA market. If you're getting these earning guarantees as a top earner, that means the rates are so out of whack that would tell me it's not even worth it to drive in LA, period. The question, though, that I have is how many drivers in California are actually getting some sort of earning stipend because they didn't reach
connecting to the last segment that we did, you know, my worst earnings, right? If my earnings declined by 50%, right, a lot of drivers who started at 30, which thought were great for themselves, if their earnings have declined also by 30-40%, they're all going to be into this stipend now. Because, you know, to me, it's like, I mean, I drove 13 hours, active hours. I only drove 243 miles. And my earnings before tips, including quests and all the incentives, was $520 almost, right? So that's that's all over $220 a mile, which is fantastic, you know, for the rates that we have. $2 a mile or more is amazing. My guaranteed minimum, I earn like 200 more than my guaranteed minimum. Okay, so, and active hours, 520 divided by 13 is $40. This number was 60, right? In September, October, November last year. So if my numbers are down from 60 on active hours to 40 or 35, I think a lot of drivers may fall under this category now. They may be getting some cash, you know, adjustments on their apps. So drivers, please watch out for this report. Every 2 weeks, Lyft sends you one, and every 2 weeks, Uber sends you one. And all your miles and all your active hours is in there. This is on only active hours. This is not for sitting on your butt waiting for a ping, obviously. Yep. So to me, my numbers are down 30, 40, 50%. And I still don't think I will get the stipend. But, you know, with the lower incentives and oversaturation, I think a lot of people may fall into this category now. They may get some money, you know, back that they should have gotten through regular pay as opposed to some shady law.
So well, here's the other thing too. When you go out and drive, you also take advantage of what promotions are available during that time. So your earnings per hour, or you know, earnings per mile, or however you want to actually look at it, is going to be higher. And that's why I said you're the top earner, one of the top earners in the LA market. Now, for somebody who's driving, say, full time, or even somebody who's driving part time, who's not taking advantage of those promotions, that could automatically put you in this whole thing when it comes to getting a stipend when, on
100%,
it. Because, again, if you're, you know, what is 30, 40% of your 518? You know, take that away. Does that give you your 322? You know, there could be. So, you know, maybe one of the things that you could try doing is going out, trying a couple of rides on base only. So not taking advantage of promotions or falling short of the promotion that's available, just to see in terms of like a test. And, you know, that one, that would be a great article. Two, we could talk about that. And three, would that qualify you for a stipend from Uber or Lyft?
You know what may qualify me for this stipend? If I only do deliveries. Because if I do deliveries, okay, tips are not included in this, right? Mm-hmm. I've noticed that my net fare, as it says here, on deliveries alone is garbage, literally garbage. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for tips, I'm giving stuff away now. If it wasn't for tips, you shouldn't be doing deliveries, right? So I'm pretty sure I will get it this week. The stipend, because my net fares on doing 20, 30 deliveries was garbage, absolute garbage, right? Mm. And in deliveries, you don't have boost, you have a quest that you can do. But other than that, you don't have surge, you don't have anything, right? Mm. So you're correct. You're correct by saying, yeah, I only drove the hours that I think are available for surge and finished my quest and whatever boost I have. Yeah, I worked those hours. Otherwise, this number would be much, much lower. So I may get a stipend this week because I only did like maybe 6 trips and like 25 deliveries to finish my 30 quest. I may get a stipend this week. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, or at least how close it'll be like for the two numbers. So your net earnings and the guaranteed minimum. So we'll have to do a little follow-up there. But, you know, this is on the Prop 22 side. So this is in California. Other states are, you know, trying to find their either AB5 like legislation or Prop 22 like legislation. There's no real middle ground, and let's be real, the middle ground is probably better than both sides of these. So, you know, something like Seattle, it looks like a clear winner at the moment. And Washington,
New York,
but it looks like I wouldn't even put New York in there. I think from what I've heard, Washington and the Seattle law.
We have to get a couple of drivers from Seattle to talk about this. I'm really curious.
So drivers, if you're in Portland, or I'm sorry, if you're in the state of Washington, following
any city in Washington.
Even either Tacoma or Seattle or the state, because Tacoma, I think Tacoma and Seattle are under a different type of that law. It's the upgraded version of it. Because there's more population within that area. And also New York City drivers. If you want to come on, talk, share your experiences, we'd love to have you on, because those two areas are very unique when it comes to rideshare. So, but with that being said, here's a tweet that came about a federal Prop 22 bill that was just introduced by a Democrat in Texas. Rather than legislating for true flexibility and choice with an employment floor, it provides for labor carve-outs for precarious workers, mostly people of color. Now, I don't know how true all that is. I didn't read this HR 8442 yet, but I will. So I'm interested to see if it's a true clone or not. And if it is, I'm not definitely not in favor of it. But well, did you look at it yet?
Yeah, I did look at it. And so Vina Dubal is a labor law professor at Hastings University, and now she's a scholar at Stanford. So she's no small chump.
She knows what she's talking about.
Okay. She knows 100% what she's talking about. And obviously she's labor friendly, union friendly. However, you know, this, first of all, I was surprised that it was a Democrat that came up with the HR 8442. Usually I would think from Texas on top of that, I would be thinking it'll be a Republican. But, you know, and then on the right, there is a tweet also following the thread is basically this legalizes misclassification, gets rid of the minimum wage, workers' comp, unemployment insurance, right to organize, all in one swoop. So basically what Prop 22 did, but expands it, right? Because under Prop 22, at least you have that minimum wage plus 20% pay, you know what I mean? And 30 cents a mile stipend. Mm-hmm. This one, nothing, like zero, garbage. And I'm like, God damn. And then all your employer has to do is make you sign a worker flexibility agreement and poof, all the rights labor movement fought for are gone. So I believe what she's saying. She's the leading really person when it comes to labor law in the country at the moment. And a federal law of a watered down Prop 22 was not good anyway, but watered down version of a Prop 22 under federal law would be like a disaster for gig workers. You know what I mean?
Well, so two things here. First off, I'm actually not surprised that it's a Democrat because look at Lorena Gonzalez, Democrat, California.
Fighting for the unions and shit.
It's AB5. Yes, you're right. It's actually pretty interesting. Now, to Vina, we should probably try to reach out to her, see if she can come on.
She may be part of the group that we discussed before the show. So,
I'd love to talk to her about this more so, really get into the depths of this, because this is going to affect all drivers. This is not going to be, you know, this is one state. This is going to affect every driver in the U.S.
No, but this is also going to affect, you know, this is also going to affect a lot of independent contractor workers, right? Because a lot of big companies are going with this model. Even Google, Facebook, they're all hiring coders as independent contractors now under this model. The you know Prop 22 model, as opposed to being actual employees, you know,
yeah.
And this is a trend that's taken over, and this is not a friend for the worker. I'm telling you that right now. So I'm not for unions or this or that. You know, they all have their benefits, upside and downside. But a national law like this would be pretty much bad for, I mean, any and every independent contractor. So. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how we're going to tackle this one.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'll have to read that. And then, yeah, if we talk to Vina, I'd love to get her scoop on this on more details, not just even, as you said, not even just rideshare, but just this worker flexibility agreement. See what that's all about. So it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out. But yeah, that's kind of the one thing there. Now, we got one last topic that we're going to be talking about, and that is this whole, Uber and Lyft are being heavily relied on with doctors, with hospitals, and drivers really aren't equipped to handle these passengers, these patients of these doctors and hospitals, whether they're going for, you know, whatever it might be, they have an emergency, they call up 911 and say, hey, I need a ride. I need an ambulance. I have to go to the hospital for whatever reason. They deem them not an emergent case, and they say, "Okay, well, we'll have a Uber or Lyft driver come to you." And so, an Uber or Lyft driver gets the ping. Mostly Lyft in this case. And Lyft driver will get the ping request, not knowing they'll just go to the address and then they have to go to the hospital. And this is a patient that, you know, called 911 and could be emergent on the way there, but drivers just don't have the capabilities to be able to handle that emergent situation. If that's the case, you know, then who's at fault? Because it's going to be the ambulatory people. So did they determine that, well, if we have a couple of non-emergent, two emergent cases, that just something happens to them and we don't really, did they write that off in their thing or what?
Yeah, I think.
I don't know.
I hate this, honestly, from the day it came out. Number one, the ping comes in as a regular ping. It doesn't specify that this is a Lyft Health or Uber Health trip or whatever, right? Once you accept it, you know where you're going. Then you know it's one of those pings, right? Because we don't know where we're going on Lyft unless you're a top gold or platinum, whatever driver you are. Yeah, but again, it doesn't specify. It just says 5 miles northwest, whatever. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, okay, we are supposed to drive people from point A to point B safely, period. That's our job description. Pick up, drop off. We're a cab with an app, nothing more. I am not equipped mentally, physically, educationally, any which way to have a patient who's having an emergency in my backseat. Look, you know, you may be having a child. I don't know. What the hell? Or you may have broken your arm. I'm like, bro, I honestly have not read the TOS. I don't know what it covers, the insurance, you know, on the phase three, right? That $1 million liability. I'm telling you, if you pick somebody up and they die in your car, which it could happen, I don't know. Because people are stupid. Instead of calling 911 and an ambulance, they'll call a Lyft. I'm like, it's cheaper. I'm like, no.
That's the other thing too.
Yeah, man. I'm like, what is my liability? Am I screwed for life now? Because this person who died in my backseat for natural causes, let's say, or any other reason whatsoever. I mean, I've picked up some really horrendously sick people in this thing. I really have. And most doctors now are using that for their own appointments, doctor's offices. Lyft has a deal with a lot of doctors and hospitals. Uber Health is there. Uber is doing the same thing. And I'm like, what's my liability? What happens if somebody really dies in my backseat? I'm like, I'm screwed, or is the insurance going to cover it? Or because the family of the passenger was dumb enough to call a Lyft ride as opposed to call 911, an ambulance. Are they going to come after me? What's the deal here, right? So again, I'm going to keep it short. I am mentally, physically, and educationally not equipped to handle these cases. I am not a doctor. I have very limited medical knowledge. I don't want anybody dripping blood in my car. I don't want anybody with a broken leg and an arm in my car. I don't want anybody with an infectious disease other than COVID in my car. I don't want it. Let us opt out. Let us opt out, please. Please, please, please. Mm-hmm. Because create a different platform, just like they have. You know what? Just like they have with the Disabilities Act, like they have for, you know, people who can handle their cars are equipped with a lift for their wheelchairs and things like that for handicapped people. Create a separate freaking place and train your drivers properly. Even CPR. I bet you, you know, I know how to do CPR. I mean, but I haven't done it ever, but I know how to do it. But in that panic, I may kill this person doing wrong CPR. I don't know. So I'm like,
well, as you said last week with Eddie, but as you said last week with Eddie, don't touch the passenger.
Don't.
If you touch the passenger, that's when there's going to be an issue. So like if they're having a seizure in the back seat, one, what are you going to be able to do? And if you touch them, then that at that point, I would assume that you're going to have more liability than just hands off. But at that point, then you have to dial 911, get them there. It's going to take
more time. That's not my job, bro. That's not my job. I'm getting paid $6. These rides are all minimum fare, by the way. You should know. And
for the most part,
Because you're picking them up from their house, to taking them 3 miles to the doctor's office or hospital. They're like $2.62 on Lyft and $3 and change on Uber. I'm like, not worth it. And then, but then you feel bad. You go there, you know, they're in front of a doctor's office. I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm like, I don't want to do these. I want to opt out. Lyft, Uber, whoever's listening to this, please, we need to opt out. Or create a special department with trained drivers who can handle emergencies in their car other than getting stabbed and shot.
You got, if you got like UberX, UberXL, Uber Green Comfort, Uber Comfort, everything. You know, you could definitely Uber Med. Uber Med, there you go, or Uber Ambulance, or whatever it is,
whatever.
Where you have somebody who's trained, and let's say, you know, maybe it's EMTs. You know, they might have their own job, and then, you know, they can work doing that on the side or something. People who are trained, maybe you go through training. If you are a driver and they say, hey, look,
we'll pay you to get trained. Yeah.
We'll pay for you to get trained. We'll pay you X amount more to make it worth it, whatever it might be. And then those people who are online will get those types of rides that are coming in instead of, you know, anything could happen.
But and I mean, Chris,
I'm not trained to be able to do that. Again, I'm like you, I don't want all of that in my vehicle because, well, that's my personal vehicle on top of that. So I don't need all of that, especially if I'm transporting my family and stuff around.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think it's something that is a good thing. I don't think it's for patients and that need to get somewhere. And I can understand, like, if you're older and you're going to, like, the doctors because of whatever particular reason, and absolutely non-emergent, that's one thing, because, you know, older people who can't drive, they don't have to rely on trying to find, you know, a family member or friend or something to be able to take them to the doctors. I understand that aspect. But
there is a liability issue in that one too, right? First of all, this is a lose-lose proposition for the passenger and the driver. The passenger is getting into someone's car who's not trained to equip, you know, or handle emergencies in case they're having one, right? Yep. That's a lose for the patient or the passenger. Definitely a lose for the driver, okay? Because now I'm opening the Pandora's box if I touch you, but humanity says somebody is really having a stroke in my backseat. I got to help this person. You want to touch him, but I mean, you don't know any of that. But the other thing is, even if they're going to the doctor, most elderly people who are not, you know, supposed to drive anymore, let's say, right? You have to be really careful because these people can just fall and break a hip or leg getting in and out of your car. But if you do get out and hold them by the arm and do something happens, that's another liability. So I'm like, I don't know, but I'm like, this to me, I don't want to opt out. I don't want to do it. I honestly don't want to do it. Besides getting sick and catching a virus or whatever, I feel bad for the patients because they're all in the grasp of a greedy insurance company not paying for special transportation for them, which they should have, right? And they're putting him in a lift because it's cheaper. I'm like, it's bullshit.
And not only that, they're cutting back on services that are needed, like EMT and ambulatory. I know there's a shortage. I understand that. And you got to try to figure out what you can do to make sure everything. And yes, it's $1,000 or more for an ambulance ride, but most of the time insurance is going to cover it. I mean, I understand people that might not have insurance, and at that point, you know, hey, trust me, I get it. Like, I haven't had insurance for a long time, for a while. I have it now, but before that I didn't have it. And what would I have to, if something happened, you know, that would have been on me. And I would have probably tried to either just sweep it under the rug or something. So I understand when patients or you know, people who don't have insurance are watching this and like, well, what if this? I get it. Like, but here's the thing, you know, as we said earlier in the show, when it comes to your safety as a driver or as a rider, you know, your safety is more important than other things, because if you're not around to be able to enjoy, you know, the fruits of your labor or family or whatever it might be, well, it's not worth it then at that point, because you're not here. So you want to make sure that sometimes you don't cheap out or chintz out on certain things, like the proper care that's needed. And these companies that are doing this need to realize that, like, a driver is not going to have the same knowledge and know-how to be able to handle situations if something that seemed non-emergent at the time becomes emergent from the time that you talk to them to the time that they're trying to get in the car and go to the hospital, go to a doctor, whatever it might be.
I'm completely against it. I don't want to do it. I don't want additional liability on top of my head because, you know, we're living in a litigious society as it is, right? People sue people for everything. and I'm just opening a new can of worms for $3. And I doubt very much that something happens to a patient in the back. They're going to sue the person that ordered the ride. They're going to sue the person. They're going to sue Lyft, I'm sure. And they're going to sue me because I was the driver who could not help him and let him die or whatever is going to happen. I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah.
I want to finish my quest and go home. Yeah, I don't.
It's headaches. And then on top of that, you're out trying to drive and make money. If something happens, how long is that going to take from the moment this emergency starts to when you're done with this emergency? So how long is that time? How much money are you going to lose because of that?
Yeah. And we talked about the deactivation stuff, right? So I go there. I figure this is a hospital. I'm picking up. I cancel. Oh, you canceled too many rides. Cancel rehab. We're going to deactivate you. So I'm like, no win for me whatsoever. I mean, every which way, this is like bad for the driver. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
and you know, let's be real. For the most part, I'm sure these emergent cases will probably not happen. Or likely not to happen. There's always going to be a small chance. It's like trying to gamble on taking a child without a car seat or unaccompanied minors or too many people in the car. Chances are everything's going to be a-okay for that ride. Yep. But the problem is there's always going to be a chance of something. Do you want to take on that added liability?
Yep.
And, you know, for you, no. For me, no.
I mean.
So.
But you know what? That driver that left his house last week in Portland doing food delivery, right? Did he think he was going to die that day? Right? Nope. So all that has to happen is once. And you don't want that once at all. And you don't even want... So the only thing you can do is minimize the risk of that happening once. Don't drive in bad neighborhoods, at night, whatever, whatever. But when it comes to this, you have no control. Zero. Like, I can control where to drive or not to drive. But if I get a ping saying, go pick this person up from the hospital, I don't know if they're in a wheelchair. I don't know if they're in a stretcher. I don't know what the heck is going on. So to me, it's like, no, I don't want to do it. Train your drivers. Separate group for Lyft and Uber. Do it that way. I don't want it. I want to opt out. Hmm. Just like I opted out of Uber Shared X, the new pool. Give me a choice. I'm an independent contractor. I don't want to do it. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. Luckily, I don't have that in the area. And so, all right. Any last comments with that?
No, sir. Oh, yes. Okay. Email me your ride counts for that wonderful gizmo. I hear it's amazing. And you will get stranded at some point.
Amazing.
This is one amazing. This is one of those times, right? Your car will probably start 99 out of 100 times. But that one time it doesn't. And you're in the middle of absolute nowhere. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Boom. There you go.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. It's like, well, what if you don't have anybody around that can jump you, or you don't know anybody, or you're in a weird area, or whatever it might be? Having something like this that's so portable, it's perfect. You just got to keep it charged. I mean, it holds a charge pretty well, from what I know. But and it's got a flashlight on it. I forgot to say that.
Holy crap.
Got a little flashlight, so you can see.
It's like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, it's a Swiss Army battery. And I think it's like 99 or 99 and a half watt hours. So it's fine to fly with.
Okay. Email me the trip counts. Trip counts. No dollars, no overthinking. Screenshot and email. Attach the screenshot to the email. Send it to me, Sergio@therideshareguy.com. You will get one of these. Again,
person with the highest trip count for Uber will win one of these. And the person with the highest trip count for Lyft will win one of these. And it's from the week of July 25th to August 1st. Just snapshot your trip count. Very simple, very easy. Send it to Sergio. Yep. And good luck.
Yep.
And with that being said, we've reached the end of the show. Thanks, everybody, for watching, hanging out. Smash that like button. Please be here next week. We are going to be talking about some of the changes that Uber has announced when it came to more cities are going to have upfront earnings, pretty much all of them. They said most cities, so there might be a few that aren't going to have it, at least over the next couple of months. You know, this whole Uber Pro thing with this cash stipend and
their earnings.
Yeah. So it'll be a very, very good one next week. We will see you guys next week. Make sure you subscribe, ring that bell for notifications, smash that like button. Have a good rest of your night, day, wherever you are.
Wherever you are.